surviving life with the Van Villies. My name is Danny Van Villy, and right next to me is the lovely Lady V.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Lady V?
I am awesome this wonderful morning. Danny, what is this week about?
Well, this week is about us dating our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you might be tuning in and asking yourself, okay, what do you mean I should date my children? Letitia, what do we mean?
So, if you were tuned in 2 weeks ago, you would have heard us discuss at length the importance of date night for married couples. We spoke about how functionality does not necessarily equal relationship, and we used Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23 as a reference, where Jesus said, though many will say that they delivered people in his name, that he doesn't really know them. So running a successful home does not mean that you and your spouse are still connected. It is from this analogy that we chose today's show title, which is to date your children. We are essentially going to delve into getting to know your children outside of the do's and the don'ts of the household rules.
Wow. So parents, this is a very key conversation, you know, because as parents, we do have our own roles, and those roles have to do with us taking care of our children, which we do, you know. But what happens when you're taking care of the child but you're not talking?
Oof. And especially as the children begin to get older, how important is that? If you have any tips, anything that you've learned, or any of your own thoughts and suggestions, remember that you can always reach us. Our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376.
And if you know someone who would benefit from the show, maybe their relationship with their child is not in the right place, do let them know. Let them tune in. We're here from 11 till 1.
If you were listening in last night between 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. and uninterrupted, you would have known that today's topic is called Date Your Children. Now, what we mean by this is prioritize time with your children so that you can get to know them. So we often hear mothers and fathers saying, oh, you're my child, I know you, and this is why you must behave like this, 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 this. But the idea that because I've given birth to a child, I know a child, is not exactly biblical or scriptural, because a child is not a blank canvas. You know, when I was growing up, I would think, you know, babies are just blank. They come in and we rear them up. We teach them the way in which they should go. But if you look in scripture, there's a balance between who God says these children are and you raising them accordingly. If we just take a look at Jesus, Samson, John the Baptist, and there are so many more, their mothers were given very clear instruction on who these children would be and even how they should be raised. So yes, you train up a child and you know the way they should go by God, but they are also individuals, and you still, in a sense, you kind of need to meet them. Remember when Jesus said to Mary, hey woman? That's what's coming to mind.
I'm sure he thought, mom, you just called me son, you just called me woman.
Yes, she was like, you just called me woman. And then she remembered, wait, this is the whole Messiah of the world here. So we have to deal with this differently, Danny.
You know, I like to watch how our relationships evolve with our children.
Mm.
You know, they're very young, but the child who wasn't talking is not the same child who starts to talk. You know, and as their personalities develop, somehow, as a parent, you also have to adjust and realize that what worked yesterday will not work today or tomorrow. And if you just think telling them what to do the whole time is the only way to get things done, then you are mistaken as a parent, and the relationship with your child will take some strain. So you have to build a friendship with your children, but you are not your children's friend, okay? And what I mean by that is this. Don't try to fit in with your child to a point where you can't discipline them, to a point where they can disrespect you, to a point where when we're looking from the outside, we no longer know who's the child and who's the parent. But at the same time, don't be such a tyrant that the child can't even have normal conversations with you. Now, with my two children, I've noticed we have a child who takes instruction. They just want to know what should they do, and they'll do. And then my other child wants to understand why.
So there's many questions.
There's many questions. And the many questions are not from a place of disrespect. But once you explain to them why they need to do a thing, they catch it and they run with it.
Mm-hmm. So we're basically trying to say, do we have time to get to know our children? Listen, adulting is hard. We got into date night, how you have to prioritize your husband and your wife. Now we're getting into getting to know your children and essentially making time and prioritizing them as well. You're listening to Mercy Me to Not Worship You. So, Danny, we're talking about prioritizing time with your children. What's your take on that?
So, one of the important things that I've learned personally, and you know, I'm still young in the game, but having been in children's ministry and youth ministry, I've noticed that parents don't understand that you are teaching your children how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So one day, what you're doing with your child, they're going to be in that position and you're going to be the grandparent. And if you are not making time with them and you're paying their bills, that means they'll also do the same with you. They'll pay your bills, but they won't be available for you because you are teaching them how to interact with you even when they are now older. So I really want to ask parents to prioritize the relationship you have with your children, and not just prioritize it in terms of the roles we play, but you need to want quality over quantity. For example, if you're going to spend 30 minutes with your child and you're completely focused on them and your phone is not in your hand and you're not trying to answer work, then they will experience the quality of the time they're spending with you. But if at the same time you think, no, because I was with the child, though I was on my phone, we spent time together, then you are missing the point. The funny thing is, this actually happened with me this morning because I was with my children most of yesterday, but I was working and I was taking them between school and all these things. And at some point this morning when I asked them, I said, yo, we spent a lot of time yesterday together. And they said, well, you were on your phone.
And they pick up on that. That's what's so intense. Children pick up on where your attention is going instead of them. I do feel that I need to say this from a psychological standpoint.
Yes.
So many of us have got relationships that we just want to work, from our marriages to our siblings to our friendships, etc. Did you know that psychologically, your relationship with your children has got more chance of working out than any other relationship in your life, because that child is dependent on you from the time they're born. And that child wants a relationship with you. You know, sometimes you're in a bad marriage where you're in a season where you don't want a relationship with each other. Sometimes you have friends who are no longer interested in being in a relationship with you. But did you know that statistically, your relationship with your children is one that is rigged biologically to work because children want a relationship with you? So the onus is on us. We have the responsibility to make the time for these children.
Yep, and to make a quality time.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like I said yesterday, now if I was a parent who doesn't have time where that's designated for my children, where we become aware. And I always thought, okay, because we're spending time and I'm on my phone and I'm working, we do get to see each other. Then what does that communicate to my children
mm-hmm.
in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
Oof, guys. Yeah, we are talking today. Impact. Beautiful music. Joe Britton, Behold Live. And before that, we had Canyon Hills Worship with Spirit of God. Handing it over to Lady V.
Have you ever heard the saying that the owner of a Bible that's falling apart typically isn't?
Yes.
I love that saying. That simply means that if someone has been so engaged with the Word, that the Word has probably given them some kind of strength. When we look at our relationship with God, you know, I think it's interesting that we want to spend as much time with God as possible, because earlier I said adulting is so hard. There's so much that's on you. And we feel like we need to be with God because we can hardly handle some of the things life throws at us. That's how much your children want to be with you, especially in those formative years. You know, scripture says, if the foundations be broken, what can the righteous do? Now, we understand fully that God is a God of restoration and he can restore the foundations. But what that scripture is telling us is to have broken foundations is to put yourself at a disadvantage that will take a lot of work to undo. So when we talk about children, particularly if you have children who are in some kind of foundations, now I must make it clear, children have a lot of foundations. I'm grown, I would say, but I'm in the foundations of raising my children because they're still quite young. So my parent can view me to be in a foundational zone right now in my life where I need help with the rearing of my children. So it's not just the foundations of them being toddlers, but it's any foundations that you're doing with your children. It is important to establish that they are a priority to you. And I've actually said here that your children are your cheapest dates ever. They don't want the big stuff. They don't want to be on a yacht in Italy. They don't want to be at the Eiffel Tower. You can be in the park with them. You can be outside with them. And it is establishing something really special in this child. We're talking about the culture within your home that children have a space. So nobody understands more than us what a busy schedule can look like. Yeah. And we often talk about, babe, how do we make sure that in the schedule, the children know that they are still prioritized? So here are some tips that we had to learn because we just felt like we didn't have time. We felt like we needed to make the children understand who we are, what we do, and that it is busy, but that we would promise them that no matter how busy we get, there's a holiday coming. There's a play date coming. Sometimes you can't unbusy yourself. I'm talking about parents with really demanding jobs. I'm talking about single parents, for example. You just feel like there isn't enough time in the day to spend with these children. Why not pencil them in? Into your appointment book, into your busy book, where nobody can get involved in this time slot because I am getting to know my child. This kind of prioritizing of the child is different from everyday life. Just like we said that for date nights, you need to get to know each other and reconnect outside of paying the bills, the plumbers, and all of that. The same is true for our children. We can be so busy with fix the bed and wash the dishes and go to school that we don't actually know, hey, this child is 12 now. Do they still like what they liked when they were 5? Sure. So it's so important to establish within your own psyche, I am constantly getting to know my child and getting to know the stage in life that they are at now. The favorite color might have even changed by now.
That's right. And I don't know if parents could ever really grasp just how much your attention means to your children. You know, there's a thing I have observed when children go to a play area, you know. All the games are there and they play, they have fun. But it reaches a point where they get bored of the stuff. But when you as the parent decide, I'm going to join you and play with you, it's almost like someone just renewed the playground.
No, I have to say this. I have to say this on air. So Danny's that parent who's in the play area with the children. And I always see the other parents kind of looking like, what is that grown man doing in the play area? But I wish they could understand. This is Danny's kind of promise to his kids that he will be the present parent in the play area.
They'll even come look for me. You know, like, Daddy, aren't you just going to join us for a little bit, you know? And parents must know the value that adds to your relationship with your children is absolutely priceless. So don't buy them another thing. Give them you. Well, you are on Surviving Life with the Vambillies, hanging out with myself, Danny Vambilly, and the lovely Letitia Vambilly. Lady V, what are your thoughts?
Well, firstly, I have to say we are seeing your WhatsApps, and we're just about to get to that point where we're reading it on air. Remember, the number is 071-364-0376. So we're talking about time spent with children, and my thought is, do not confuse the fact that you pay bills for having a relationship with your children. You know, Danny, there's this joke that, you know, I found myself cracking at recently, where the children say to the parents that they never get them presents, and they said, "Mom and Dad, why don't you ever get us presents?" So the parents bought like bows and ribbons from the gift shop, and they put a ribbon on the lights, they put a ribbon on the water, they put a ribbon on their beds, and they said, "You see the lights? That's your gift. You see the water?" They put it on their school books.
These parents are classic. I wish they were my friends.
They said, "We pay for your school books, don't you?" And that really made me think much deeper, that if we teach the children that their basic needs is a gift, then you're teaching them when they're older to give you the most basic things as a gift. You know, when the grandparents start saying, "I haven't seen you in so long," well, it's because we've modeled time as a gift. We've said that this is something that you must fight for. But the water, the lights, the school, the food, the children should get that by birthright. You are supposed to do those things. And as parents, if we tell the children that it's hard to pay for your school fees and it's hard for you to eat or have water and light, it's true. But as a parent, you took on the responsibilities of this child. You know, Sometimes when my children are being naughty, and my little sister will be like, "How do you do this?" I'll be like, "Listen, sis, these children were sitting somewhere in heaven. I ushered them into this world. I don't get to complain about things like that." And so just because you're paying the bills does not equate. And you need to understand maturity, infantile understanding versus parental understanding. I think even up until the point that you're a teenager, you do not really see your parents taking care of you as a gift. It's only when you get older and you have responsibility that you begin to realize what these people sacrifice. But it's to take away the child's childhood and innocence, to make them feel as if paying the bills equals relationship. And that's why I'm saying adulting is so hard, and we need God to help us balance all these different responsibilities and protect the innocence of the child. Find what works for your family. And it's ironic, this was similar to date night. The same thing doesn't work for all couples. You've got a different schedule, you've got a different day in your house. Danny, there's something weird that works for us with our children, that they absolutely love it, but some other children might not even like it at all.
Yep, and that is just low drive.
Drives. They always say, "Mom, Daddy, I want to go for a long drive." So sometimes we'll have like the hardest day ever, but we know that these children appreciate a long drive. So on our way home, we'll call whoever's with them, the nanny, the babysitter, the grandma. We'll say, "Put them in their PJs, get them in their shoes, we're going for a drive." So we'll get there maybe 8 p.m. and they just come in and we go for that long drive, because we've noticed that our children love long drives. The question is...
With their parents.
With their parents, yes. The question is, what do your children like? And if you don't know what your children like, that's a huge sign that your relationship is about the doing and not the being. And by being, I'm talking about being in contact and connection with your children.
So, find what works for you and your family. Maybe it's reading books together. Maybe it's just bonding and doing each other's hair and hugging and chilling, or wrestling like some of us. But find what works. We're playing you the sounds of Jubilee, Brian and Katie Tolt. You're on 103 FM. You hang out with Lady V and Danny V. Our WhatsApp number is open, 071-364-0376. We want to hear from you parents. We want to hear from you children. Whether you're a grown child or a baby, tell us, what has your experience been? And let us share. Let us learn from each other. Surviving life is about us walking together. 071-364-0376. Ty Tribbett with Anyhow, Hallelujah. You are still with Danny V and Lady V. Oof. And you guys have sent us quite a lot of lovely, lovely messages. Letitia, what's that first one saying over there?
Well, it says, good afternoon, Impact. Thank you for the great music and the teachings that we're receiving as we raise our kids. I can agree that they do change in what they love doing. What I got from my son, 15, he also likes what I like, which is, and there's a nice list here, we love it, making notes on my phone at church, he does it. He is a cell leader since I'm a cell leader for some time. He enjoys news, I watch news on TV. He enjoys playing games with me, Scrabble, 30 seconds, cards, etc. with me, and you can see the joy he has. He also enjoys me driving him and his friends to youth meetings. I still need to get it right with walking and training with him. He worries a lot about his weight. He says he has my genes because he's a little bit chubby and handsome. He loves it when I say I love him, and mommy taught him the words ditto. We really do appreciate, we really do need God to raise people. Thank you for the topic, and thank you for your message.
Wow, we also have Andre, who actually sent us the most interesting voice note.
Hello, Danny and Letitia. Yeah, when it comes to dating your children, if you didn't grow up with your children, make sure you really get to know that they're growing up.
Andre, I hope that's not for your mother,
I absolutely love that. And that speaks to our relationship with God as well. At some point, we drink milk, and at another point, we eat meat.
Yeah, someone else said, love the show, Danny, talking such truths. And then Yolanda, good morning, the Vambilis, love your shows. Can you encourage Impact to place more of the recordings on the podcast? Yes, we've gotten them going up now. You guys keep your eyes on the podcast platform. You'll see more of the shows coming in. And thank you, Yolandi. We really appreciate your support.
You know, just to go back quickly to something Andre said about the fact that your children are growing. You know, there comes an age when you even have to admit your mistakes to your children. I think we come from them being so young and so little. We can get away with so much. But your children are growing up, and sometimes they see your mistakes. And their inability to apologize and speak to you when they're wrong can sometimes come from what we've modeled to them, as one of the messages showed us. Her son loves to model after her. They don't just model, you know, like likes and dislikes. They also model character. If you apologize to your grown child when you're wrong, they are more likely to apologize to you too.
Yep. So if you're saying my children don't apologize, parent, you need to start apologizing too. Another one, Alice Singh, hello, Lady V and Danny V.
There's Josh Wright giving us a try. We're talking about prioritizing your children like you prioritize your spouse. Danny, you just played us a wonderful voice note there by Melinda. Melinda, thank you for your voice note.
Yeah, she was saying a lot of very deep stuff, you know, and I think it takes such humility for a parent to own up to the experience that their child is going through and to apologize. Melinda, thank you. I think a lot of us as parents are going to take a page from your book. Thank you. Letitia, what are we talking about?
You know, it's important to note, just as Melinda, you did so well, showing us that we as parents will make mistakes. The same is true for our children. They will make mistakes. None of these conversations are ever about some kind of perfection. But it's instead to say that we just need God, whether we are needing Him in our marriages or needing Him in our parenting. God once gave me an analogy of a house. I was in my prayer time, and He and I were going through stuff, you know. And I was just feeling like I'm not perfect. Like I keep getting this thing wrong. And the Lord gave me this beautiful analogy where He said, Letitia, if your child crashes your car, if our child, when they're 16, grab our car and crash it, and the police call us and they say, listen, Danny, I've got your son here and he's crashed your, I don't know, Ferrari. And as a parent, you're then given an option. They say, come and pick him up where we are. Or they could say, what would you have us do? In that moment, you as the parent actually have control over what happens to the child. You could bail them out immediately. Or you could tell the police, keep them there for a night so they learn their lesson. The point is, as long as the child grabbed your car and crashed your car, you have control over what happens to that child. But let's take the same analogy. And the child goes and crashes the neighbor's car. So instead of waking up early to fetch your car, they break into the next door garage. They grab their, what's a really big car? I don't know, big cars. Another Ferrari type car.
Yeah.
Those things. And they crash that. In that moment, you as that child's parent do not have as much jurisdiction with regards to what happens to them. They are now at the mercy of the owner of the other car. And the Lord was using this analogy to show me, Letitia, even if you fail, I need you to fail inside my house. Because if you fail inside my house, I have full control over what happens there. If we'll be laughing about it at your 21st birthday, how you stole the car and crashed the car. But if you leave my presence and you crash somewhere else, my jurisdiction becomes limited. And the Lord was using this to show me that our children should know, and we should create an environment where they feel safe to fail. Because I think in these times of, you know, I would want to say in these times, Danny, but the truth is parents work too hard for children who fail. I'm going to explain what I mean. Sometimes when you are working three jobs to make sure that this child goes to a good school and they bring a report card that's unsatisfactory, our reaction in that moment can be more about the sacrifice that we're making for this child to even go where they go and less about what the child is actually going through. Because unfortunately for us, life is such that no one is just failing because they want to. Most times people are failing because there's actually something going on. And creating an environment where the child can come and say, listen, mom, I crashed the Ferrari. Because you can tell God, listen, God, I crashed the Ferrari. And the importance of constantly linking our relationship with God versus our own relationship with our children, it is never about condoning bad behavior, but it's about managing as a parent. Is my child going through something? And I hate to go here, but I have to because of some of the statistics in our country. There is a lot of assault and there is a lot of abuse with children and teenagers. Some of our children are silently failing because someone assaulted them. Because something happened to them at school, something happened to them at the club, and they're too afraid to actually come to us and say, Mom, this happened to me. And when the children don't come and speak, we find out when it's almost too late, whatever that may look like. And so that's why we're encouraging, have a relationship with your child, the one that you want with God as well. We're still looking at your WhatsApp messages, and we've got one that's come in from Alice saying the parents are the role models to their children, teach them to apologize every time and when they're wrong, and to each other, to love each other as well.
Wow. I mean, that's a real experience.
That's an actual real experience. Thank you, Andre. It seems that God actually gave me a real analogy. Listen, even if you do wrong, if you're at home, your daddy will pick you up and throw you at the back of a bucky.
And we thank God for the cops who are out there in serving our country, who know when a young man just needs to be corrected. Yeah. And they're not necessarily going to put them in a position that gets them to have like a criminal record or something like that. Thank you, police officer. We love and we appreciate you.
I have a bit of a challenge to propose now. Myself and Danny, we come from a community, and if you come from this community, you would know what we're talking about. There is something in our communities that we call black tax. And I have a question this afternoon for you. Why is it that taking care of our parents is seen as tax? Could it be that because of the way that we were raised, there was not enough relationship that was established that communicates to us that we actually need to take care of our parents. The very word black tax denotes that it's something difficult to do, that it's something that is not easy to do. But the truth of the matter is that we should want to take care of each other. So this is a question that came up for me as we were doing the show. Why do we have this kind of pull against just natural help? We said earlier that when your child gets older, that's when they come to realize what it is you went through for them. And naturally, you want to pay it forward one way or the other. Pay for the medical aid, pay for the light bill or something. I think sometimes the upbringing, and I'm talking from what I've seen, especially in the counseling space, can be like the example we gave earlier, where there's a ribbon that's put on the light bill. There's a ribbon that's put on your education. There's a ribbon that's put on food. And you're made to feel your whole life like these basic needs are people sacrificing. So when it's time for you to give back, it also feels like something basic. An act of love and care can feel like tax. So that's my challenge this morning, for us to kind of think about that word a little bit and why it has such a negative connotation.
Yeah, and to ask ourselves if we were presenting it differently and not from like this very toxic approach, would we not treat it differently?
Yeah.
You know, if you know, I mean, I cannot imagine seeing helping my mom as tax because of the way she has always been there for me individually, for us as a married couple, for my children. You understand, when it flows from a place of love and it's not painted in your face like, I'm doing this for you, so you need to do this for me one day, then the message that comes across is not tax, but love. So yeah, if you are thinking about it and you see it as tax, maybe we need to communicate it differently. All right, so one of the questions that we have right now has to do with what Letitia said earlier. All right, how do we build and cultivate the open relationship with our children that would enable our children to have the freedom to come to us as parents and say, Mom, Dad, I crashed the car?
Ooh, that is such a deep question. I think it would depend firstly on where in life your child is. So are we talking about a toddler, a teenager, or an adult? Because I think with an adult, I think teenage to young adult, you can actually sit them down and say, listen, I know this is how things have been, but I want you to know that we're getting to a point in life where mistakes do happen, and you need to know that you can come to me. Now, if it's an older child and you have that conversation with them, then the onus is upon you, mom and dad, to act like they can come to you. Because then if something happens and they come and it's not something nice, then that's the point at which you just ask God's mercy that you have the kind of loving reply that allows them to come to you again. So I like to go to scripture or our own encounter with God as parents, because oftentimes we just don't have the answers for these things. And that's when the relationship with God and scripture becomes even more important. I often ask myself, how did God deal with my wrongdoing that allows me to be here today? Sometimes God has been so loving to me in places where I was absolutely 100% at fault. And that teaches me to give a similar grace, not just to my children, but to my husband, etc. So the problem that the child brings also has to be weighed. If it's not, if the child comes and says, Mom, I broke a glass, why are we screaming and shouting and acting like, oh, I see you there, you just said a teenager. Yes, a teenager can break a glass. So yesterday we talked about the fact that you can come to me if something is wrong. Tomorrow the child breaks a glass and they're grounded for 3 months. the punishment doesn't even fit that crime. So you start to show grace in the little things, because a lot of our relationships are nonverbal and children pick up on that. She tells me I can come to her when I've done something really bad, but she's punishing me for breaking a glass. So how will she act if I come and say, Mama, someone's pregnant?
Yeah.
Because these things do happen. I would say as parents, begin to model in the little things that there is grace. And then tell them that if a big thing happens, they can come to you. But the older they are, and that's why I ask the age, it's harder to lie to them. They actually want to see you be graceful, and then they'll feel safe to come and speak to you.
Yeah, I think what you do consistently with your children teaches them what to expect from you. So as parents, of course, we want to have a balance. You don't want an environment where, you know, your child thinks they can get away with murder. But at the same time, you want an environment where things are treated differently. Some things, yes, they are bad and you're upset. You know, probably they broke something that you really love. But the way you handle it will also show the child, okay, mom and dad are fair.
Yeah.
You know, because one thing I've also noticed is when parents try to be too strict, that in the long run causes a different problem. So know when to talk about it, know when to be kind, and also know when to be serious, you know? Yet be fair, be loving in your approach, because you never know what that child needs to share with you. But always have an open door policy with your children. Beautiful sounds of 3C Live with Testify. You hang out with Daddy V and Lady V. Letitia, we are closing off the show. What was that last message that came in? Visit impactradio.co.
We had a last message that was saying sometimes stuff is just stuff. You know, basically, Melinda was saying there's no point in crying over spilt milk. If it's broken, it's broken. Let it go. And I absolutely love that.
Yep. And I also think, you know, as parents, we just need to choose our battles. Don't make everything a battle.
I would say that's probably why the prodigal son knew he could come back home. We have that in scripture. Look at everything he did. How did he know he could come back home? I think that's a story that we need to re-examine. But that is unfortunately it for this week. But fortunately, we're back next week, right, Danny?
Yep, we are back next week. Thank you, everyone. Roxanne, Melinda, Cindy, you know, everyone, Andre, for participating in the show, even Alice. Man, we love to hear from you, and we enjoying growing with you. Always remember to catch us on Tuesday at night, 6 p.m. to 6:30. Wednesdays, 11 till 1 p.m. And now you can also catch Letitia on Mondays from 11 to 1 p.m. Letitia, what do you actually have happening on your next show?
On my next show, I've got an interview with a pastor who is also a survivor of a life in trauma. So you want to be there this Monday at 11 a.m.
Yep. And then next week, what are we doing on this show at 11 p.m.?
You do not want to miss this. The show title is called The Seed. For a seed to reach its full expression, it must completely disintegrate. And to the uneducated eye, it looks like it's complete destruction and the death of that seed. Whatever word or seed it is that you are waiting for equally needs to go through the same process before it can grow roots and stand firm. But I'm not going to go run into this. You have to come back next week in order to hear what it is God says about the seed.
All right, Danny V, Lady V, au revoir.
Visit impactradio.co.za.